Welcome to the Full of Tracy Bunny Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 1:07 p.m. That is Pacific Summer Time. Today is September 6th, and today I've been ruminating on commonality. And there are two sectors in particular where we can see a lot of evidence of commonality right now. The first is in the commodities sector. I'm starting off with looking at the CRB index, because that has been a serial laggard, and not least because it is heavily weighted by the energy sector. But what we are beginning to see the tentative evidence of is that the progression of lower rally highs evidenced since the beginning of this year are now being challenged and potentially going to be broken. And that would add another supporting strut to the argument that commodities are on a recovery trajectory. When we perhaps then focus on the oil price, I think it is most relevant to look at the Brent crude price. And when we look at it and in a very objective fashion on a weekly basis, this has been a very orderly consolidation in the region of the trend mean, and it has held above this $50 level for 7 consecutive weeks now in a rather inert fashion. And we know from looking back at history, and we can see it on this weekly chart, that these periods where you get very inert trading in oil do not last, and when they eventually do end, they are what they contribute to is an uptick in volatility. And considering that the price has been pretty soft for just about all year and has been reasonably firm, a break upwards from this range would both break the medium-term downward bias since the beginning of the year, but it would raise the potential that we're going to go back up and test that $60 area. Quite what happens at that juncture, it remains to be seen. But if we were to take the labels off the chart, this looks like a recovery trajectory now that it has been ranging for such in an inert fashion that we perhaps should be starting to give the benefit of the doubt to potential for some additional upside in crude oil prices. And there are a number of factors that could be contributing to that, whether it is weather in the short term or whether it is the uptick in the return of the global economy to synchronized economic expansion, which should be positive for energy consumption, or whether it is on the supply side, and that OPEC have, and certainly Saudi Arabia has, a vested interest in having higher oil prices, not least as they attempt to IPO Saudi Aramco. With all of those, and of course, there are countervailing arguments on the other side with increasing pace of technological innovation in the energy sector, with the advent of electric vehicles, which are, I think, only on the cusp of beginning to really create a niche for themselves in the global transportation sector. But what's also interesting is that a company like, for example, Solar Window has been rallying over the last couple of weeks. It has got a major statement to make tomorrow, which is about their move to production of their spray-on solar cells. And it's a big move for a small company like this, because they are reaching commercial utility. This is, I think, an important topic, is that there are a significant number of technology companies that have been in incubation for an awfully long time, but that they are increasingly moving towards a commercial utility, and that would appear certainly to be the case with something like Solar Window. And they have that big announcement tomorrow about what they're going to do about their production facilities. But I'd like to return first to just to look at some charts that really do help to ram home the point about commonality. The FTSE 350 mining index has paused around this 18,000 level, but it has broken up to new recovery highs. The ASX 300 resources index in Australia is at new recovery highs, and it is now offering at least it is beginning to show relative strength compared to the ASX 200, which remains very much confined to this short-term range. which I guess is no longer that short term. It's been going on for 3 months already, where we have this just very jerky but very confined range. We know that ranges are explosions waiting to happen, and whichever way this breaks, it is going to represent a very clear move, and it is going to puncture either a vacuum of supply above or demand below the market, which is going to ignite a significant move. So I think Australia is certainly something to keep an eye on, and it is being led higher by the resources sector. When we look at, for example, some of the ETFs, so for example, Mexico was a little bit weaker, and let me just put that up on a 5-year basis. But when we look at it, it was a little bit weaker this week, and potentially we're in at least a consolidation and potentially a reversion to the mean. But the most important thing that it has done has broken this rather lengthy progression of lower rally highs. And of course, that is a currency adjusted chart. And then you have the Brazilian ETF, which is again, it's at it is now breaking on the upside. When we look at even the Argentine ETF, then it has been a relative strength leader, particularly since the election of Macri. So this represents another example of where we're seeing commodity-related markets returning to positions of outperformance. It's not just confined to Australia or to the to Latin America, but that the South African market has broken up and away from what has been an almost 3-year range, and now we're getting the first consolidation. And the Russian market, which really has been the subject of sanctions that have been levied against it, but then when we compare it to all of those other resource-oriented economies, then we get a pretty similar picture on that medium-term outlook. These are the kinds of shares that benefit from the return to global synchronized economic expansion. And if that is indeed the case, then I think we should probably be conditioned to give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. Obviously, what would damage them would be either a war, or, and certainly when the people are looking very closely at North Korea, and obviously there is nobody quite knows what the result of the Communist Party Congress is going to be in China in the middle of October. But when we tend to think about what the risks are, we should also think about what the opportunities are. And it is obviously clear that prices are substantially below where they were in 2011, and that there is ample potential for additional upside here within the confines of a cyclical bull market. Then I think it is also worth just remaining alert to the kind of commonality that we're getting in the biotechnology sector. And I think it is worth simply hitting view all charts and scrolling through, because we've had quite a lot of conditions where there have been some pretty significant pullbacks over the last few years, but now we're seeing an increasing number that have got these base formation characteristics. There has been an uptick in M&A activity. And certainly, there are a number that probably need to be culled from our chart library because they've been taken over, and it's rather hard to keep up with all of them. But then we're seeing more that are breaking progressions of lower rally highs, and that's certainly the case, for example, with Alexion Pharmaceuticals. Then you'd certainly have evidence too of those that are not performing, but they're not collapsing in the same way that we had seen over much of the last few years. And this sector is being led higher by the immuno-oncology, I guess I don't want to use the word sector twice in one sentence, but it is immuno-oncology which is leading the sector higher. And when we look at this environment, what we're really being treated to is evidence of an increasing number of shares that are either finding support or are returning to positions of outperformance. And these are all very long-term charts, so we are seeing a great deal of the volatility that the sector has been prone to over that decade. But I think the more important point is that, for example, big companies like Biogen are now starting to firm. Amgen is right at the upper side of its range. Celgene is trending higher. These are the very large cap companies. And then if you look at the index itself, the Nasdaq Biotech Index, well, then it has broken upwards in emphatic fashion. It found support in the region of the trend mean a few weeks ago, and then it pushed on to new high ground. This looks like a recovery trajectory, and it is being led by one of the, and Gilead Sciences was one of the shares that did best in the period from 2012 to 2015, and did worst between 2015 and the middle of this year. But now it is back on a recovery trajectory, and not least following the acquisition of Kite Pharmaceutical last week. It is certainly immuno-oncology is where we're getting the biggest move, because what is happening is that this is another sector where which has been in incubation for an awfully long time and is now reaching commercial utility. And Novartis was the first company to get a product permissioned by the FDA, and that was again just last week. So when you can talk about the success rates for leukemia treatment in children, where the patient would have been unresponsive to just about every other treatment, and then they're given these immuno-oncology treatments, and you have a 90% success rate, then we can understand why Novartis is saying that they're only going to charge if they get a positive response within a month of treatment, because they've got a 90% success rate. And that is opening up the potential for certainly in at the beginning stage, in the current stage, blood cancers becoming something of a side issue, because we will be able to cure them. Of course, this is still early days. They're going to have to then move on to solid state cancers as well. But again, this is an incredible breakthrough, and it is helping to stir interest in the broader biotechnology sector. And when we think about where our best calls come from, where are the things that where we see evidence of developing trends, it's when we see a high degree of commonality. And where we're seeing the greatest commonality right now is in the resources sector and the biotechnology sector. And that is where I think the primary focus for the search for consistent trends it should really be focused. But that doesn't mean that we ignore what's happening out there in the wider world. And Apple has got an awfully big presentation due on September 12th, and it has rallied incredibly impressively since the beginning of this year. The last time it rallied that impressively was back in 2012, and I find it rather curious that the pattern from the beginning of this year is startlingly similar to that which we saw in 2012. We had a pullback in the at the beginning to the middle of the year, and then prices rallied again up to it was back in 2012 before the stock split. It was almost $1,000, and now we're and what I think is also interesting is back then the overextension relative to the trend mean was about $20, and right now it's about $20. That and then the subsequent pullback was about $40. The pullback in 2015 was about $40. So that is something I think has to be considered here, considering that an awful lot of good news has already been priced in, and Apple is going to have to come through with some pretty amazing a new delivery next Tuesday in order to satisfy the expectations that have been priced into the share. So I think there is the potential that we could have a buy the rumor, sell the news kind of event. And of course, Apple is the largest share in the world, so it's potentially going to have a deleterious effect on stock markets if indeed it does pull back. If we look at the Nasdaq on a daily basis, then it was in positive territory today, and this chart hasn't quite updated just yet, but it has been consolidating below 6,000 really since the beginning of June, and the upward bias has certainly been has been held. It's unwound much of its overbought condition relative to the trend mean, but certainly not all of it, and that we could have an additional period of ranging and unwinding of that overbought condition before the medium-term advance is reasserted. And this was also a positive day today for Germany. The DAX index is showing increasing evidence of bouncing from the trend mean. And this is another example of consistent trends at work, that what we have seen is heightened commonality coming through in sectors that had previously been underperforming, and these are largely cyclical sectors, certainly technology and resources, and particularly developmental technology, tend to be cyclical sectors. And then in the wider stock market, we have either been treated to pauses or outright reversions to the mean, and that's particularly the case for Germany and Japan. And then in the emerging markets, we're seeing an increasing number breaking on the upside. The most important question we need to ask is there any evidence of type 1, type 2, or type 3 trend endings? And by and large, the answer is no. And as long as that remains the case, we give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. And I think with that, I will leave you for today and wish all the best to all of you.